and they are reducing it to, as they say in the Bible, to stubble. They are destroying one of the most beautiful sites in the whole world right now. They're flattening it to dust and killing people indiscriminately. They're even shooting people with red crosses on their roofs and white flags coming out of their vehicles. They're shooting them dead as they try to get out of these areas. It's just unbelievable. Really, really sickening. And you all need to start passing on these facts as far and as wide as we can possibly get them. Okay. That little portion of this rant has been concluded. Today we're going to talk about Turkey, as I said. And there's a lot of information about Turkey. We're going to go into the history of it just a bit and how Sabbatai Zevi, some call him Zevi. I've heard Israelis and Jews call him Sabbatai Z. He was a gentleman that was converted to Islam in Turkey under threat of death, but has come back under a crypto status. His group did anyway, and took over that country, calling themselves the Young Turks. If you have ever heard that term, probably related to a group of Jews in New York who put on a broadcast called the Young Turks. They probably selected that name intentionally. Many of you don't know what it means, but we're going to tell you what it means and what the implications for Turkey are in the next upcoming weeks with our friend and researcher, Christopher John Burkus. Christopher, are you with me?
I'm here.
Thanks for being with us today, Chris. You know, we're trying to mix up these research projects that we're doing here. One of the reasons why I have you on is because you do a wonderful job of reading the documentation and looking into the facts. And you have the ability to cite the work, and this gives people an opportunity to check and see if we've been disingenuous or honest about our efforts. Could you give people a little history of how Turkey fell into the clutches of this particular group, and just what's been happening over the last 100 years with this nation?
Well, Turkey was always a critical empire to nationalistic Jews and false messiahs who wanted to pretend to be the messiah who would restore the Jewish people to the land of Palestine. And as you mentioned, Sabbatai Zevi was a false messiah in the 1600s who proclaimed to the world that he would be king of the Jews and restore the Jews to Palestine. And this was a direct threat to the hegemony of the Turkish Empire. And when he was traveling through Turkey, the Sultan captured him and put a sword to his throat and said, "Admit that you're not the king of the Jews and declare yourself to be a Muslim, that Muhammad is the prophet of God and that there is no God but God." And Sabbatai Zevi wisely did that. And that was the beginning of the Dönme Turkish subversive movement, whereby Jews would pretend to convert to Muslim status and they would be the most religious Muslims in their communities, but all the while they would maintain Jewish rituals within their households. And in part it was a means of survival, in part it was a means of subversion. And they were able to worm their way into the Turkish Empire and take over all the leadership roles and all the banking roles of the Turkish Empire, which were very extensive. And they were able to subvert Egypt, and they were able to subvert Syria, and Palestine was part of Syria. And through the machinations of the Rothschilds, they were eventually able to bankrupt the Turkish Empire, and they conducted the Young Turk Revolution, which put Zionist Jews in power of Turkey, and then they committed the genocide against the Armenians.
But we know that. Is there any evidence that this same Young Turk group and is still in power there? And was Ataturk in fact a crypto Jew, or was he a Jewish lackey? What was his status as far as the research shows?
He was both he was a crypto Jew, and he was part of a crypto Jewish movement, and he actually came later. The initial crypto-Jewish movement was a group of Jewish positivists that were in Salonika, Greece, and Paris, and there was also a strong community of positivistic Jews in Vienna. And their dogma that they fed to the Gentiles was that science would replace religion. And this dates all the way back to Plato and the idea of Atlantis as a highly technical state where science had replaced religion. And this is the means that they used to subvert Turkish culture and to remove Islamic unity in the Turkish Empire. They promised a new utopia where science would provide for everything, all the needs of life, and that anything that was metaphysical, anything that could not be proven by experiment and scientific means, was automatically disregarded and discredited. And this movement began in earnest with the Rosicrucians and with Francis Bacon, and continued through to the positivistic Young Turk movement in Turkey. It was another utopian way of subverting Gentiles so that they abandon their history and their traditions and accept Jewish leadership who propagates these mythologies.
Well, you know, I understand a lot about Turkey, and in fact, they are a non-religious state. In fact, they are a secular state, but the majority of their country, almost 95%, I think, follows Islam. How have this small group controlled that nation, and have they done it with brutality? Have they done it with the deception? All of the above. Or are they, in fact, having trouble keeping control of it? What's the present status of Turkey?
They keep control of it by creating dissensions between the Kurds and the other Muslim populations of Turkey, which leads into events that I think are about to unfold.
And well, is this with the Olajuwon, the gentleman Olajuwon that was he was really a spiritual leader as well as a freedom fighter for the Kurds. And it was Britain involved in partitioning the Kurdish a nation and with Iran and with Iraq and Turkey, intentionally splitting them up so that they would not continue to be a force in that region?
Britain and France were heavily involved in that, as was the United States. They wanted to keep these nations unstable so that they could control the oil in the region. But one of the methods that Jews used to control Turkey was finances. Another method was diplomacy. Turkey has always been a center from which Jewish diplomats, and especially crypto-Jewish diplomats, have infiltrated the governments of the world. And they have also been a center for training Jewish subversives to go to other nations and fill their slots as diplomats so that they are aware of the intelligence of all the countries of the world and have both influence and understanding of events that other nations don't have, which gives them a tremendous advantage.
Is this terrible enmity between Greece and Turkey partly due to the fact that the Greeks are a very Christian Orthodox society, and they've always known that something was amiss with the Turks' leadership?
The Jews were able to create animosity between the Greeks and the Turks because the Ottoman Empire ruled Greece and Cyprus, and they were able to put in Greek bankers who were really controlled by Jewish bankers. And they made it appear that it was the Greek bankers who were siphoning off the funds of the Turkish Empire, when in fact it was Jewish bankers who were siphoning off the funds of the Turkish Empire. And they were able to lead the Turkish Empire to attack the Greeks. But whenever this would happen, you would see Jews in the streets cheering on the Turks to slaughter the Greeks. And the Jews would also try to inflame the Greeks against the Jewish community so that they could then call on Big Brother and the Turkish Empire to come and hammer the Greeks.
Because they wanted to eliminate the Christian strength of their society?
Absolutely. And they also did the same to the Armenians. For hundreds of years, they tried to create animosity between the Armenians and the Turks. And many of the Christian groups in Palestine, in Lebanon, and in Syria derive from the Armenians.
Yeah. Well, I know some Armenians. There are quite a few Armenians in America who understand these facts. And, in fact, they've never been able to get their story widely circulated. And it's quite clear to many people in that community that there was a Jewish conspiracy behind it. However, on the face of it, it looked like it was Arabs trying to kill him. And they still use that lie as a way of saying how dangerous Arabs are, or, I mean, not Arabs, but Muslims are toward Christians.
the heaviest push for that, to create a fight between Turkey and both Arab Muslims and Christians, happened in the First World War. And they used it to discredit both Turkey and Germany, to say that these people were genocidal maniacs, when the genocide was in fact taking place at the behest of Jewish banker leadership. And
in both countries.
And had for decades. Absolutely.
And of course, in Germany, it was against mental defectives, it was against homosexuals, gypsies, and the Jews that they wanted to rid themselves of.
If you're speaking in reference to the Second World War,
yeah.
And the, what was it, the T4 or the E4 euthanasia program, I think you're referring
yeah.
to. Yes. That was the trial run for the alleged gassing of the Jews later on.
Yeah.
That came first.
Mm-hmm.
But that was part of a longstanding Jewish push through Moses Hess for eugenics. And Moses Hess plagiarized Herbert Spencer's social Darwinism, whereby he stated that certain peoples fulfilled certain biological roles in the world organism, and that the role of the Jews was to be the leadership and to manifest itself again as the leader of world religion and world government. And they had the mythology that the ancient Greeks and the ancient Hebrews were the only ones who produced high culture, and that the ancient Hebrews still existed, but the Greeks had destroyed themselves through assimilation into other communities, and that the Jews would have a great revival if they were able to reestablish the Jewish nation, and they would have the world's greatest scientists and the world's greatest politicians and the world's greatest religious figures. And all this is part of their messianic mythology, that when the Jewish king attains the throne, that the Jews will have a wonderful revival and regain their ancient status as leaders of world religion.
Well, I've got a little tangent to go off here on here, because I've had some questions about something, Chris, that I need your knowledge on here. I looked into Weishaupt, and Weishaupt was, when he was given the job of organizing the Illuminati, did he get the order to also infiltrate and start usurping the authority of the Masonic lodges, or were they actually in charge of building new Masonic lodges, or did they go in there? I heard and I read something that they went into several lodges with large sums of money and started making cheap loans available to business people and communities, and found their way to the top of these organizations because of their money prowess. And of course, they made money lending their money, but moved their way into the Masonic movement about 1760, 1750. Am I wrong in any of that, or am I off the mark on it?
No, I think what you said is correct, and there was a good book written by Robeson. I believe it's called Proofs of a Conspiracy, et cetera, where he established that Weishaupt and the Illuminati infiltrated Masonic organizations. And Leon Trotsky and Lenin were Freemasons, high-level Freemasons. And it's well established now that many of the Bolsheviks were involved in Freemasonry.
But see, there was a Freemason. Yeah, go ahead.
I believe we have May Day. Wasn't that May 1st, 1776, when Weishaupt started the Illuminati?
Yes, it was. Now, here's the interesting thing, because the Masonic movement predated Weishaupt, and the fact is, a lot of people think that because of the predating of it, that the Jews had no prominence in those organizations, and this is one of the big misnomers, because what happened is that they were infiltrated in many of their larger groups, and ultimately fell under their control, as so many organizations have in history. And so there was actually a usurping of that organization rather than the founding of it.
Well, that's also true of the Illuminati, although it was less of a usurpation. I believe the Illuminati began in Spain by crypto-Jewish Spanish agents, as did the Jesuits.
That's right, under St. Ignatius Loyola, right?
Yes, Ignatius Loyola. And also there were others involved in the Illuminati. And I think if you look in the Encyclopedia Britannica, the 9th and the 11th editions, have pretty good articles on the Illuminati which delve into that history. I believe the ninth edition is circa 1875 and the other is circa 1910, 1911. And they have very good articles on the Illuminati. They also have good articles on the Rothschilds.
See, so this is when people in the alternative press talk about the Illuminati being something separate from Zionism. What I say is the term Zionism may have been coined at the beginning of the 20th century. What it was, in fact, was the same people who coined that were the people who were in charge 100 years earlier. It was just the same movement morphing itself into other forms.
Well, we have evidence of that in relation to our theme today, which is Turkey.
Yes.
The Young Turks and the subversion of Turkey by crypto-Jewish agents was orchestrated by Masonic lodges. It was a great means for them to gain compromised leadership and to communicate. They had the reading rooms and the Masonic lodges where they could gather and discuss things openly. And we have to realize that there was censorship and there were laws against sacrilege at the times that these institutions were started. So these were places where people could openly discuss atheistical views, and that was a great attraction because one of the things they wanted to do was remove religion and remove government. And Masonic lodges and reading rooms and other things provided them with a forum to discuss those ideas as we have the Internet today. It gave them a place to voice their opinions in confidence that they wouldn't be denounced and turned over to either the church or the government.
So now we also see a thread of this same activity running through the Middle East with Old Man on the Mountain, and we can talk about like the Jordan King being one of the highest level Masons in his area. This is not just unique to Turkey, but that whole network has been fanned out throughout the Middle East. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, and the Nazi movement had a long history of people going back and forth from Turkey, and the Tula Gesellschaft also had roots in Turkey. Many of the subversive movements and anti-Semitic movements have begun in Turkey and spread out to the rest of the world. So we have a long-standing tradition of what's going on, and we have a long-standing tradition of false wartime propaganda. And I think this propaganda that Hezbollah is a strong military force is typical of that, because they are using that as a pretext to ramp up their destruction of Lebanon, which they've planned for 2,500 years. And they want to blame Hezbollah for all the atrocities which Israeli racist Jews are committing against the innocent Lebanese people who cannot defend themselves from this horrific force which is overwhelming and destroying their nation while the whole world watches. And the whole world is blaming the United States, but it is not fulfilling its responsibility to call for an immediate ceasefire and to impose economic sanctions, perhaps a military blockade of Israel, and to put an end to this war. Instead, what it's doing is giving Israel absolute power by pretending that the United States has the right to play the role of arbiter in this situation. The United States has no natural role as arbiter in this situation. The world community has the responsibility to join together and put an immediate end to this crime against humanity, which is being carried out by Israeli Jews against the Lebanese people.
Well, now, I saw, you know, when I spoke to Israel Shamir yesterday, his article stated that that in some ways the French are sort of responsible, because they knew darn well when they were signing on to the ejection of Syria out of Lebanon, they were setting up Lebanon to be invaded. And that only happened recently, and the world knew that Hariri was murdered. I mean, everyone knew that the Mossad murdered Hariri. And in fact, we even know that the man that murdered Hariri was a man named Harari, which is really bizarre. And the truth is that the French, demanded the removal of Syria along with America, but the French actually gave the final vote on it. Israel Shamir says that they should have come in there in the vacuum and stood protection over that nation and instead set it up for the slaughter.
The French have been controlled by the Rothschild banking interests for centuries. And what is happening today mirrors what happened in 1922 when they established the French Mandate and the British Mandate, which they threatened to start World War II in 1922 based on that conflict. And they wanted to start a second world war that early on after the First World War so that they could empower the United Nations to create the State of Israel. And it was a real threat. And the Zionists knew very well that a second world war was inevitable over this conflict between the French Mandate and the British Mandate for Transjordan, Syria, and Palestine. And then this is, again, manifesting itself today, and Turkey is going to play a key role, I believe. And that's why they want to lure Turkey into some kind of international force in Lebanon so that they can also draw NATO into it. And I suspect that what they have promised Turkey behind the scenes is a solution to their Kurd problem. And they have probably promised the Kurds that they will create a Kurdistan in the so-called New Middle East. And they are going to use the Kurds to help them attack Syria and Iran. And they're going to try to foment all kinds of conflicts between Arabs and Persians, between Shiites and Sunni Muslims. And they're going to try to get the southern Arab nations, over which they have absolute control, including Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Egypt, to stand idly by or to join in condemning the Shiites. Then once they have wiped out the Shiites, they will turn their attentions to the Sunnis, including the Kurds, the Saudis, the Egyptians, the Libyans, etc. And they will then wipe them out. And what we have is a terrible situation where the governments of these peoples are puppets of the Israeli government and are deliberately bringing those peoples into crisis and war so that they can decimate them.
And you know, when we look at this analysis and we see the historical references to it, and we understand that this is certainly not any new design, but rather something quite old and quite well ensconced in the minds of these planners. So, what do we do other than just to, you know, trumpet the facts? What's to be done?
Well, let's look at how the media lies about things.
Yeah.
They emphasize the fact that 100 puny rockets are launched against Israel each day, and they announce these facts while we see Jews praying in front of pallet loads of tank rounds, each pallet containing 100 tank rounds, and each tank having several pallets and having dozens and hundreds of tanks daily shelling Lebanon, as well as air attacks. They are trying to make it appear that Hezbollah is some great force so that they can reduce Lebanon to dust. Now, people have to realize that Lebanon is only the first domino that they intend to tumble. They will next reduce Syria to dust. They are in the process of reducing Iraq to dust. Then they will reduce Iran to radioactive dust. Then they will turn their attentions to Jordan, and Saudi Arabia will be next, and then it will be Egypt, and then it will be Ethiopia and Libya. And the whole world is headed towards a conflagration that could result in the destruction of humanity. That's the first thing we have to realize, that this is a life and death struggle for the citizens of the United States. Secondarily to that, we have to realize our moral obligations to cease this genocidal slaughter of Muslims who have never attacked us and never would. We have a moral obligation to condemn our government's involvement in this Israeli genocide of the Lebanese people and to bring to trial those criminals who have killed probably 100,000 Iraqis in an unprovoked attack against Iraq.
It's actually more than that now, and we actually set it off by starving a quarter of a million of them, and so we killed a quarter of a million of them through starvation. We've murdered another 140,000 of them, and then the rest that are sitting there are going to die from depleted uranium poisoning.
We have to get the world community to stop abrogating its responsibility to put an end to this. They could very easily blockade Israel, cut off all its economic resources, seal its banking resources, and put an end to this immediately. Why aren't they doing that?
Because we're actually in league with them. That's why.
Evidently so.
Yeah.
Why is it that the Europeans grunt and groan and do nothing? It is because they want to give the United States absolute power, because the United States is a puppet government of Israel. There can be no other explanation. It is not in Europe's interest to have a World War III. And no one knows how horrific the suffering of World War I and World War II were better than the Europeans, especially the Polish and the Russians.
Yeah.
Now, these people have got to impose sanctions on Israel and put an end to this immediately. And they have got to let the Israeli people know that they are not the master race of human beings on this globe, and they do not have the right to commit genocide against the Lebanese, the Palestinians, the Syrians, the Iranians, the Iraqis, the Egyptians, the Saudi Arabians, the Jordanians,
the Armenians,
etc., and the Armenians.
Oh boy, Christopher, you know that this does go deep, and it has a history, and it is not a deniable history. You can look it up, you can see it. I mean, when we talk about this, of course, they're trying to say that I'm an anti-Semite. First of all, we've discussed many times on this show that this group that's doing this is not even Semitic. And the second thing is that the Arabs that we discuss on this program are Semites. And I'm certainly not against Semitic peoples. I'm against criminal behavior. And I'm talking about megalomaniac, psychopathic criminals. And this is what I'm against. And the idea that somebody would try to paint me with an anti-Semitic brush or a racist brush is well, not only is it untrue, it is a bold-faced lie. And I think some of the best allies that we're going to be able to garner in this battle are going to come from the Jewish community, because they, better than anyone, are aware that some of this stuff that you've just discussed is not only factual, but really taking place. And what we need to do is to get them to jump ship on these people. And I think we've seen the beginnings of that from their poll numbers going from 90% to 70%. And if we can continue pounding away on the facts, that we can actually get a large number. If you listen to Shamir saying that 50,000 Russian Jews have already left Israel, and many more wish they could, maybe that's just the tip of the iceberg, and maybe they're just lying through their teeth about how much support they really have.
Absolutely. And Russian Jews are cosmopolitan, wonderful people, those who came out of the Soviet Union and wanted to emigrate to the United States and to Israel. And many of them are very disenchanted with the experience that they've had in Israel. They come from cosmopolitan communities where they had a lot of interaction with the Russian people, and it was a positive experience for them, and they end up in this segregationist, racist nation that they never expected, and they don't like it. And the greatest shock to them is when the Israelis put obstructions in their path to keep them from emigrating out of Israel. And they realize that they've stepped into a racist trap. And segregationists, secular Jews, have to realize that the religious Jews have this plan. This war is taking part in no small measure in order to create conditions where they can build the Third Temple and destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock. And when they do that, when they have so weakened all the Muslim armies that they will be able to bulldoze the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock, just as they are today bulldozing Lebanon, they will then try to create a spiritual revival among Jews all over the world and try to create an animus between the Christian world and the Jewish world and the Muslim world, and create a worldwide conflagration which will force all Jews to move to Israel. These people have to realize that they are vulnerable to another Holocaust. And the same group which perpetrated the European Holocaust during World War II is trying to orchestrate a worldwide Holocaust to force all secular Jews to become religious Jews and to move to greater Israel.
And is it with this Chabad Lubavitcher group? Because I actually saw them as one of the main groups kissing bombs, along with those young girls, those little girls. And we see that they are the real predominant force, in, especially in American Orthodoxy, really rising up. And you can see them also starting centers in Paris and Berlin. London has two new centers. We're talking about this group really, really rearing its monstrous head in the world. And are they the flame waver, the people waving flames here? Or, I mean, are they the real source behind much of this?
They are one of the chief evangelizers in the Jewish community. They are trying to create that spiritual revival I was talking about so that they have a solid Jewish base for conducting these atrocities against the rest of humanity. They are trying in Nazi-like behavior to create so-called Jewish unity so that they have a unified force with an us-against-them mentality and a Nazi Blutenboden mentality. And they will then require more Lebensraum, so they will have to attack the Arab world to steal their property to make room for this greater Israel. And I am certain that most Jews want no part in that. And
I don't think they do either. And I think the ones that are cheering in the background for Israel to be to be brutal with the Lebanese have been lied to, like the Christians, Zionists in America have been lied to. And I think it's our job to try to point out the facts in history that point to these people as the culprits, and to show as much as we can that the Jews need to be allied with us and not against us, because certainly I have friendships. This, I say this all the time, and I won't stop saying it. Got wonderful friends in the Jewish community who've never uttered a violent word about anyone. They just don't have it in them. And I wonder to myself, what is to become of them? Are they going to fall victim to the hype and join with these criminals? Or are they going to stand up beside us and say, we've had enough? And I think that's really where the battle is going to be waged here, Christopher.
Well, let's look to history for an answer. If you look at the history of Europe in the Second World War, those poor people were traumatized by agents of the Jewish bankers who wanted to traumatize them. So they are going to be given no choice. Their leadership, who presumes to speak in their name and who leaves them no options politically, is going to orchestrate events very much like World War II, where the Jews of America and the Jews of Russia and the Jews of the rest of the world are forced into segregation. These people do not want there to be good relations between Jews and non-Jews. Racist Jews have always, always, from the very beginning, even in the stories of what was going on in Egypt, allegedly, have always tried to create animosity between Jews and non-Jews so that they can force Jews into segregation, which goes against human nature. Whenever you have diverse groups of human beings in contact, they tend to homogenize. It's one of the processes of nature whereby our genes get mixed together and produce stronger new strains. And these people have always tried to get in the way of that and have done terrible genetic damage to their own people through this hateful segregationist belief system.
Yeah. And the fact is, the Jewish community has twice as many babies born with defects than the general population, and that's a fact. That isn't those aren't my figures. That comes out of the medical research that has risen up from just looking at this community's too close of breeding, and it's a terrible thing. To see a society thinking that they're strengthening themselves by segregating themselves, when in fact they're weakening themselves in more than just social ways, and then you can see the result of their indoctrination with these children. My goodness, who would have an 8-year-old signing bombs? And then who could do that? What kind of monstrous people could do that, Christopher? I don't get that. See, that's beyond anything my brain can even fathom. I don't know that kind of evil exists in the world, but it does.
It is a part of the us against them mentality, and it is also a part of their racist master race mentality. They don't believe that they are doing harm to human beings. They believe that they are killing off an enemy force which is not human, which does not derive from God, and which they have a divine right and duty to destroy. And that war that they have been fighting for 2,500 years is a war against all of humanity. And it will not end as long as those belief systems are taught from father to son, from mother to daughter. And as long as that racist mentality carries on, that war that they have against humanity will not end.
Well, you know, Chris, when we're looking at Turkey and we're looking at Egypt and Jordan and the rest of these countries, of course, the leaderships of these countries have been usurped by these forces. And you also believe that may also be the case with the Persian government over in Iran, because there were working arrangements between Israel and the Iranians going back to the 1960s and 70s. In fact, the ejection of Pahlavi and his throne was orchestrated so that Jewish ties would be strengthened in that environment. But they did it in a way that would make it look like they weren't being friends. It's very strange. And I think Iran even served them up an enemy that they could use to keep the fires burning in Israel, saying that they're persecuted.
Iran also serves as a bridge between communist China and Israel. And Israel was founded on communistic principles. The kibbutz is a communistic idea. And they feel a strong allegiance to Orientals, but they feel no allegiance to Europeans. So we have to... Well, it's obvious that whenever you have so much money at stake, as you have in Iran with its oil supplies, that the CIA, British intelligence, and the Mossad are going to be heavily involved and are not going to let things slip out of their control. So just based on that, and with the well-known power of the Mossad, it's very easy to come to the conclusion that Ahmadinejad is an agent of the Israelis and is trying to lead his people into a highly destructive and genocidal war. His action should be trying to promote peace and trying to calm the growing storm. And he's doing just the opposite, which serves the interests of the Israelis. He could not be acting more favorably towards the objectives of the Israelis than he is acting.
I've said that from the beginning, that his actions seem to be almost designed by Israel, and in fact, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, Christopher, it probably is, huh?
The same thing happened in World War One. Nobody could figure out how did the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand blow up into World War One, and the whole thing was planned. It was all orchestrated, and you see the same thing taking place. Israel is pounding Lebanon into dust, and the whole world community does nothing. So that this inhuman tragedy that Israel is imposing on the world cannot but result in World War III. There are many governments who are complicit in this inhumane push for World War III. And the people of the world are the ones who are going to suffer from it. And we have the duty and the ability to stop it. It's quite obvious that the governments of the world don't feel a duty to stop it and instead are trying to create the tensions between the United States and the world, which will result in it. And you can bet that each little government has been promised its own little treat in the divvying up of the world after this World War III. And that is the way they created World War One and the way they created World War Two. They would lie to each people and promise them a utopia where they would get rid of some troublesome population or acquire some new territory or be promised some economic boom of one kind or another or a new agricultural impetus or industrial impetus. And this is the way that they lead other nations into wars. They also promise to forgive debts. They promise them military aid. They promise to open up factories, which will earn the ministers of those countries fortunes. They set up their press to beat the war drums. and then they use any event. Somebody could blow their nose on the street of Beirut, and it would be used as a pretext to bomb that block. And it's ridiculous for them to say that the Israelis don't have the means to drive right to Beirut and take it. This is not about Hezbollah being a strong force and holding Israel at bay. This is about using Hezbollah as a pretext to completely destroy Lebanon and to draw in the Lebanese army and the Syrians to fight against the Israelis. I believe there's a discipline in Kung Fu called the drunken monkey style, where you pretend to be drunk and you pretend to be vulnerable so that the person who attacks you has their guard down, and then you destroy them when they get close. And I believe that as soon as they have leveled Lebanon, they are going to move into Syria, and they will want Turkey as an ally. And they have probably made promises to Turkey and to the Kurds of a Kurdistan solution to the Kurd problem in Turkey. And Turkey is critical because it will draw in NATO and it will be utilized as a base for air operations. And in this war, it will be a war where the air forces of NATO will play a very substantial role. And they will need a base of operations, and I suspect that they're planning to establish Turkey as that base of operations to wipe out Syria and Iran. That will be the northern campaign. Then we'll have to worry about the southern campaign to take Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and the other nations.
Well, you know, we've got to be on to something, Chris, because, look, I'm a small potato in this big garden of talk shows and internet sites. And yet it's my information more than anyone else's. It's getting silenced. You'll get you kicked off of almost any forum if you put it up. It is deleted almost immediately. If you want to verify that, you could ask people at Opposing Digits, wherever they try to put my stuff. Most of you out there who listen to this later on will understand this. When you've tried to post stuff from our discussions here, we are silenced almost immediately. They do not want my facts to be aired anywhere, and there has to be a reason for that. I'm certainly not big enough with 15,000 listeners to be doing them that kind of damage unless I'm telling the truth. And the damage is coming from the facts, and the damage is coming from the truth, and people know it when they hear it.
Again, we can look to history. In the First World War, Woodrow Wilson, who was a Zionist puppet, created the Sedition Act and other laws to prevent the dissemination of information in the defense of the German people. And they're going to do the same thing with the Internet. Censorship is key to their wartime plans. We have to realize that Israel, by attacking Lebanon, has essentially declared war on humanity, and that they are going to use all the typical means that countries use in wars to get public opinion on their side, and a key element in any war is censorship. That's why they want the UN out. That's why they want the reporters out. They don't want witnesses to these atrocities, and they don't want it to be known that there are puppet governments working in collusion with Israel to create a broader war, which will be a threat to all of humanity. And that message has to get out. Israel has declared war on humanity. And we can see how inhuman they will be in this war by their psychopathic destruction, their genocide of the Lebanese people. These people, these Israeli racists, have no sense of morality. They have no sense of justice. They have no dignity. They have no honor. They have no sense of fairness. They are racists who want to wipe out all other people so that they can live in a world exclusively populated with Jews. And this is the first step in their battle against humanity. And we have got to face the fact that these Mossad agents in our media who interview the top officials of the Israeli government are not going to tell us the truth. This is wartime propaganda, and it is to be expected from any group, and especially from lying Israeli racists, that they will not tell the American public the truth. In times of war, the American public has never been told the truth by its media.
Well, I mean, the media is not telling the truth even in lead-ups to war. I mean, look, we've got a lot of places where their house of cards could come tumbling down. One of them is the 9/11 hoax. And another one, you know, is I mean, there are so many lies that they've told. Going all the way back to Oklahoma City, this government that we have in the United States is a criminal enterprise, no different than the criminal enterprise being run out of Jerusalem. And the fact is, Chris, what we've got to do is get portions or parts or all of this truth into the minds and hands and websites of every person in America, in the world. How are we going to get this past where it is today?
By not letting any of their lies go unopposed. I heard Michael Collins Piper's program the other day, and he said he overheard a discussion among bigots against the Arab peoples, and he spoke out against it. And if every American starts doing it, they're going to have to start to hide their hateful rhetoric. Because as soon as we turn it around from their calling anyone who defends themselves a terrorist to our pointing out the fact that the Israelis are racist, genocidal maniacs, then the tide will turn. Because they won't have the deceptive moral authority to tell us who's right and who's wrong. We'll know better and we'll be willing to speak out against it. And that's what has to happen. People have to start speaking out against it. They have to speak out against it when they hear people spreading hateful rhetoric in their churches. They have to stand up and heckle that preacher who tells them that these Israelis are God's people doing God's work by leveling Lebanese Christians to the ground, by killing their babies, by poisoning their water, by destroying their infrastructure. If some preacher gets up and says that, heckle them. Tell him he's serving the interests of the devil. Don't let them get away with misleading people with their hateful rhetoric. And do it in every forum, everywhere you can. Don't allow them to force you into silence, into political pressure to accept their racist, hateful mythologies. We have to turn around the mindset of the American public. And we can do it. And every person has the power to do it. You can do it with your family members. You can do it with your coworkers. You can do it with people standing in line at a supermarket. Don't let them feel that they have the right to say hateful things about Muslims and Arabs, and you don't have the right to speak out against that. Speak out against it. Speak out against it everywhere. Make it so that people feel inhibited to say racist, hateful things about Arabs, Muslims, and Iranians. And point out the fact that the real racists are the Israelis, and they have been for 2,500 years. The only peoples on earth who have relentlessly sought to segregate themselves and subvert other peoples has been the Jews. And it is because of a false belief system that they are a superior master race. Now, certainly, in modern times, most Jews have not fallen victim to that hateful racist belief system. And we have to make them ashamed for their brothers and sisters who are Nazis. That what they are doing to the Lebanese people is what they rightfully complained was done to them in Europe in World War II. Their property was attacked, their dignity was attacked, their humanity was attacked, and they as a people were attacked simply because they were Jews. Now, for Jews to do this to the Lebanese is even more evil than what was done to them, because they know what it's like.
Yeah. Well, this has been another very important interview, Christopher, and we've actually done quite a long talk here on top of my introduction. Keep an eye, ladies and gentlemen, on Turkey. There have been rumblings. There are press releases. There are things that Turkey's already had some forays into northern Iraq to start the beginnings of this next assault on the Kurdish population there. And the Kurds are a violent group as well. There'll be fireworks coming out of that area. So you can imagine hot spots all over this Middle East. And the fact is, most Americans, being as dumbed down as they have become through fluorides and whatnot, are not going to be able to make hide in their hair out of who's hitting who. And all they're going to know is it frightens the tar out of them, and that their government keeps reassuring them that they're doing the right thing for the Americans. Well, the fact is, your job is to sift through the nonsense, find out the facts, understand who's doing what to whom, and then make a decision to stand up against the criminals behind it all, and that is criminal world Zionism, the Israeli lobby in our country, the Israelis doing this from the Middle East, and of course the banking structure and the bankers in our world. Christopher, you've outdone yourself once again, and the facts are the facts, and people can check these things if they wish. It's all available to you in your history books if you do the reading. Next week, we're going to have you back, Chris, on another subject that I think kind of weaves into this as well, and maybe we'll pick the Masonic movement so that we have a better understanding of how that was taken over through the Illuminati and how it ended up in the Middle East in Jordan, and how Abdullah is nothing more than a messianic front man for Zionism, and we can talk about some of the leadership in specificity here. What do you think?
Sounds good, and thank you for the opportunity. Thank you
well,
very
much. It's an opportunity to help get more information out to very important listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, it's your job now to take this and share.
Can I say one more thing?
You can indeed.
Why isn't it that if Israel wants a buffer zone between Lebanon and Israel, it didn't cut off the northern part of Israel and move back the Israeli people? If they're so concerned that there be a buffer zone between the Israelis and Lebanese, then let the Israelis pull back a little bit. It's their idea. It's their bloodlust. Let them move back. The other thing is that Americans have to realize that American interests are being subverted by Jewish leadership interests to create a divide between America and the rest of the world, which will ultimately result in the destruction of America. They are vilifying Americans and blaming casting blame on Americans around the world for what is happening.
The French press is full of anti-Americanism, and it's in fact getting problematic for an American here in this country, in fact.
And don't let the Israelis ruin our good name in the world. We are a good people, and we should not let them smear us around the world and pour their bloodshed on our image and our reputation. And we need people in the American government to step forward, take the heat, and speak out against this. Don't be cowards. This is a time of crisis for our nation like never before. You have to stand up and fight back against this. They are trying to lead us into a nuclear World War III, and they're trying to create an animus towards the United States throughout the world and pitch the blame for what the Israelis are doing on the American people, and that's terrible.
It is. Well, Chris, thanks for being with us today, and we'll have you back next week on these other subjects. Ladies and gentlemen, until our next broadcast, this is Daryl Bradford Smith saying take care of yourselves, be well, and bye-bye now.